part of our being, and we should make it a part of our being, and I'm going back to it.
Yeah, that's very good. So it's evident then that this morning we've just wanted to come back to have a tutorial on chapter 12. But it's obvious then that the Lord has his own plan for this morning, because we barely started with just the opening scripture, and the Lord is leading us in terms of what true, fervent, and effective prayer is, because he highlighted prayers. He highlighted the fact about being able to hear him through the video that we just watched with Mike Vickler. The four keys to hearing God. And that was only part one. It has more than one part. So if you can, you should watch the other parts as well. The Lord highlighted the importance of talking in tongues. And even as Brenda Lee just spoke, the Lord reminded me of watching what you speak. And I remember there was a season that the Lord took us, let me speak about it personally. There was a period that the Lord dealt with me concerning watching what I speak. And he's doing the same thing even like in this season, you know. And the Lord was saying to me, Ashley, be careful what you speak, because your words carry weight. And when you say a thing, I will respond, but you're the one that will deal with the repercussions of the thing. Right. And I remember the Lord was saying this, right? And on more than one occasion, I was in a situation where the Lord came back to me. So the Lord was just dealing with this in terms of me watching the words I speak. I remember I had an encounter with a work colleague. And the thing is, actually, there was two work colleagues. Actually, the situation, the two times where the Lord reminded me was in a situation related to work. And one situation, it was my supervisor. She had done, blamed me for doing something that I did not do. And I was trying to explain to her, but she wasn't having it. And the thing about it, I didn't even speak it. The thought came and I said, I would like her to feel the way that I feel now. That's what I said to myself. I didn't speak it. And if that was the Friday, the Monday when I came back into the office, I would pass her desk to go to my workstation. And I saw a look on her face, and it was like, what's the matter? And she told me, over the weekend, you know, she went to get her nails done. The rain was falling and somebody passed and struck the vehicle and left it. And, you know, now this is a whole set of money that she has to pay out. The person didn't stop. She didn't even hear when it happened. But now, you know, everything is left up to her. She doesn't know what she's going to do. And as soon as I was like, Lord, help. Before I could even get the words out, the Lord said,
"You."
What did I say to you? Watch what you speak. Watch your words, Ashley. Watch your words. Your words carry weight. All right. I obviously did not learn then. Then I had another encounter with another work colleague. Simple things. Called me to get information, and I told her, okay, before you can get information, I need an approval. She put on the phone in my ears, and I was like, the line just cut. She couldn't put on the phone in my ears. I called back and she didn't answer. I said, oh, it was deliberate. All right, I know what you're gonna do. And from there, I stopped speaking to her, and the HR realized, and HR called me into a meeting, because our HR is Christian. And she said, Ashley, you're a Christian at the end of the day, regardless of what they do, remember who you are, right? Even before I got there, even before we got called into that meeting, I got called into another meeting with us. My supervisor is Christian. She was Christian. She passed away. I remember she called both of us into a meeting because the young lady worked in her department and she saw, the transactions, and she called me in. And in the meeting, the young lady carried on and said, "You one of Christians." That's what she said. "You see one of Christians?" Because the two of us are Christians, right? Me and my supervisor. So she said, "One of Christians." And at that point in my life, whenever anyone used those two words, for me, it was like fighting words. It was an offense, one of Christians. And when she said that, I said to myself, and again, the words didn't come out of my mouth. I said, "You can't have a sleep tonight." That's what I said in my head. "You cannot even sleep tonight." Now, what a week passed. HR called me into the meeting because she realized what was going on. And coming out in the meeting, I said, "That's so true. Let me go. I will go and apologize." Although I was not wrong, because she is the person, she is the body who offended, right? Who did the transaction? Because I was just operating according to our policies. So I gone and I was like, "I want to," she said, no, "let me apologize first. I was wrong." And she apologized to me, right? And in apologizing to me, she said, "I can't even sleep that night." That's what she told me. She said, I answered, because I didn't even get a chance to speak to her to apologize, right? She said, "I didn't even sleep that night, but I just want to apologize for the way that I had the Lord," and it hit me again, bum. "Ashley, be careful what you speak, because I will do, but you're the one that will deal with the repercussions." So what you're saying is so true, right? And all of this is related to prayer. And even as I remember it now, we were in a session, I can't remember which session it was in, and the person mentioned that even as, oh yes, I was in one of my GTA meetings, and it was said, which we all should know, if you are praying as intercessors, we are not supposed to talk ill. We are not supposed to speak ill about our government, even if we do not agree. Because not all governments are righteous, and you will not always agree with the person, and the person you vote for will not always win. Regardless of that fact, we as intercessors are not supposed to speak ill about our government. Reason being, the word of God says the government has been set up by him. He's the one who sets up and he's the one that tears down. Meaning that regardless of what you believe, the person that is in place, the Lord allowed it and it's for a purpose. And what I was taught as a young Christian, as long as you can pray for someone, you can't curse them. So it's like something automatic. Your heart becomes soft concerning the person. So if it is that you are struggling with the position of the government, if you're struggling with them, that means that you're not praying enough concerning them. And let me tell you, I can speak about it. I remember the government we had before. I mean, it used to tear everything in me not to speak against them because I know I'm not supposed to, but it would just hurt me. Ugh. And then I just made a decision, actually pray for the prime minister, pray for the prime, to the point then that I was the one defending him when people spoke ill. So is that my heart turned, and it's only through prayer that my heart turned, because then the Lord then allows you to see, like even like the shortcomings and stuff, the Lord allows you to see with his eyes this individual, that they are but an individual. They are flesh and you need to pray. So pray for them. They got the same struggles that me and you have. The only thing is that theirs, you're able to see theirs because of the platform they have. So don't speak ill. Don't curse them. Don't pull them down. We're supposed to gather and not scatter. As intercessors, we're supposed to gather. We're not supposed to scatter. So even as I'm here talking to you, the Lord here convicting me, because I know, I've been in this situation and with a family member too, and it takes all of me not to speak out of turn, and I have spoken out of turn, and I've had to repent, and on more than one occasion. So the Lord is here, just even dealing with me as we speak about this. And all of this is linked back to effective and fervent prayer, because at the end of the day, our words must carry weight. And with creation, we know that creation hears and creation responds. So if you're accustomed to telling lies, right? if you're accustomed to telling lies, your friends don't know that you are a liar. So regardless of what you say, they really won't hear you because they know your word can't be trusted. And it's the same with creation. So creation know that you don't keep your word. One, and they know that you're grumpy. So you always have ill to speak about another. So they really don't want creation, they won't hear you. But if you are a person that backs up your words with your actions, and if you are someone that operates from a place of love, creation has no other option apart from responding to your word. Because the word of God says that creation yearns for the manifestation of the sons of God. So if you're operating like a son of God, and creation ain't want to hear you, like how the demons say, well, Paul, where John I know, you know, Peter I know, but who's you? Really and truly who you is. I know who you is. So you can't be asking me to come out. Can't come in a way. Right. So, yeah, again, all of this is connected to effective fervent prayer and just even how we began by mentioning that the Lord did it in Mark 1:35-37, and in the morning raising up a great while before day he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. How important it is for us to do it first thing in the morning before we are bombarded with family matters and work matters and every other thing. Just, you know, just to be in that place of stillness is important in terms of being able to, even as we said, to hear the Lord. Yes, Sabrina? Sorry, Danelle?
Okay. I have a question. I noticed you mentioned it, and Sister Brenda Lee did as well, about praying in tongues, and you mentioned how the Lord requires us to pray in tongues. And even sometimes when I do devotion, because I have a devotional book, they ask you, they would instruct you to pray in tongues. Mm-hmm. I was always under the impression that praying in tongues is a gift. I didn't know that. Mm-mm. So how do you do that? I mean, okay.
So let me talk about praying in tongues. So good. So let me make it clear. Whether you do or whether you do not does not dictate whether or not you are saved. So you could be saved and not pray in tongues. Praying in tongues is, when I say it's not a gift, it is a gift. But when I say it's not a gift, you know, some people think that once it's a gift, it's only like everybody got different gifts. So it may not be your gift. That's what I meant when I said it's not a gift, in that it's not reserved for certain people. But as a son of God, it is made available to you. So there are different types of praying in tongues. Let me just make it clear. And yes, the word speaks about interpretation of tongues, right? Everybody can interpret tongues. Or there are points in time where the Lord will release that grace on you to interpret the tongue that the person is speaking, you know? But let me just explain. So there are different types. When I say different types of talking in tongues, it's like two, right? So one, talking in tongues, it speaks about edification of the body. Mm-hmm. So you talk in tongues to edify the body. So say all of us in a meeting and you begin to speak in tongues. Now the word says when that happens, there must be an interpreter in the midst. Because it makes sense you speaking in tongues and none of you are understanding. Nobody understands. So it's like, what you really doing? Well, you understand. So that's why it says, as it relates to the edification of the body, when you're doing it in crowds or in groups, an interpreter should be there, right? And it's just like the grace of God, because at the end of the day, it's one spirit, right? So even as that is released on you to begin to talk in tongues, you know, begin speaking in tongues, automatically the Lord already got somebody there as interpret. So it's not that you will become looking to see where you got interpreter, who's interpret tongues in here, use interpret tongues, let me know so that I will be able to go and pray in tongues, because I want praying tongues for everybody to hear. I wonder if you got an interpreter. No, it's the spirit of the Lord that is orchestrating everything, right? So even as you do it to edify the body, you know, the interpreter will be in the midst, because the Lord will be the one orchestrating it. Now too, because there are some people that believe that we are not to speak in tongues. There are some religions, some denominations. Two, the second type of talking in tongues is for me and you. So when I begin to talk in tongues, it's to edify me. It's to build me up. It's for me to hear what the Lord is saying, or it's for me, for the Lord. I doing it so that the Lord will begin to intercede on my behalf. God, I don't even know where to begin. I'm in a situation and I don't even know where to begin as it relates to praying in tongues, right? So again, it's the two types. It's one for the edification of the whole body. The second one is just for your edification, the individual. And so it is a weapon of warfare because it's spirit unto spirit. So the enemy don't understand tongues. He can't understand tongues because they don't belong to him, right? So it's be like deep calling onto deep. So it's spirit to spirit. Because sometimes you're talking in tongues, you don't even understand. There are times that we can pray in tongues and understand what we're praying. Other times you pray in tongues and they understand. You just pouring out before the Lord, right? And it is a weapon of warfare. I have a friend, he's a pastor, and I remember I was going through a season, and he told me, Ashley, I want you to practice something. I want you to practice praying in tongues constantly. He said, when you at the sink, when you're cooking, when you're washing wares, I want you to be walking and praying in tongues. Constant. Don't break it. And let me tell you, I did it. And in doing it, right, the Lord started to deal with things that I did not even know was there. That I did not even know was there. Because I could not see it, because it goes beyond what you can see in the natural. It's a spirit thing, right? And so then it comes right back down to how is it even done, right? I remember, because obviously I ain't come praying in tongues. It's something that it was a desire. It got first start as a desire. So you must first desire it. And there are some scriptures too I will have to search. I would search. Well, I didn't want to be. Well, I would try to search before the session is finished, right? I send them. I give them to you. But what was I saying? Right, how it even began for me, because I can always speak in tongues. I would see the old lady speaking in tongues, and then when it became a part of the women, our leader, the leader then, she was like, you know, it's a must. You're going to be able to do it. Come when we go into certain atmospheres, you're going to be able to pray in tongues, because it just comes to a point in time where praying in words, it's only so much it could do, because you pray when you're understanding as you're doing it, right? But it comes to a place where not all the time, not all. Okay, let me just backtrack a bit. So every time we pray in words, it's not always with our understanding, because the Lord is funneling, you know, it's the spirit of the Lord helping us. But when you begin to pray in tongues, you know, in an unknown tongue, it is deep, right? So how? Through our leader, what she did, she laid hands on us, but it must first begin as a desire. Because the Lord always says to come with an expectation, that he will meet the expectation. The expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. So it's a desire. So you got to desire it first, right? You could read upon it so that you get understanding. But all of this isn't even necessary, because you just have some people that just, boom, it's happened, right? Everybody's process is different. I would just tell you about my process. I saw it and I desired it. I didn't even know how it would happen. Our leader laid hands on us. I asked for the release for us to pray in the spirit. And so I have a friend of mine. What he used to do, he would stand up in the mirror and do it. Because our previous leader is not Barbadian, so she could speak in different languages. So she would speak in English, and then she would speak in her native language. And she said, Is that easy? It's so easy. It's so very easy. And it was like, easy for you, but ain't easy for me. Anyhow, what I started to do, this is my process. Everyone does not go through this. I just wanted to be very deliberate in it. And I would just begin, like I hear people doing it, and I would start to do it too. Like how people robo-bo, show-do-do-do-bo, say de 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 be de 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 bo, and I didn't even know what I'm doing, but I just practicing. And I remember once we were at a conference at my church. It was a church conference. It wasn't even related to men and women. It was at church conference. And, you know, everything, it was like just the atmosphere. Like everybody was praying, and the minister, the visiting minister said, no, okay, let's begin to speak in tongues. And I cut straight into tongues. I can't even tell you anything about it. It's me and a friend of mine. We are both men and women. And both of us, the leader had laid her hands on us to pray in tongues. And we used to go to church together. And later on, I find out the night, my same friend, that the two of us were together, you know, they laying on her hands, we were getting the teachings together and everything. That was the first night too that she began to speak in tongues. the same night that I spoke in tongues. And it was in that session. And it was just like you weren't thinking. I wasn't thinking about it. It's just as he said it, it began to just flow. And the more you do it, the vast, the more it grows. It becomes more vast to the point that I remember sometimes you were going to, you would be somewhere. And just so I just began to pray in tongues. And it's like, why? When you're doing it, it's not, I didn't activate it. Or like sometimes you begin it. And it's like you trying to stop and you can't stop. I mean, it just pouring out like water. Like you can't stop, right? It's a spiritual thing. And the mere fact you asking, that means you have a desire. So Lord, we ask that you will meet the desire of Danelle, your daughter, even now in the name of Jesus. Father, she desires to speak in tongues. It's spiritual language. It's a heavenly language. You know, it's a deeper language. Father, Lord, and I ask that you will release the grace for her in the name of Jesus. Lord, the same way how everybody has a different process, because I know of people who just by the laying on of hands, they break out in tongues. I know people that were just in a situation and they never did it before and just break out in tongues. You know, for me, I was more deliberate about mine. I went practicing. And then when the situation presented itself, I break out in tongues. But Father, you know, everybody, you say you knew us before we were even conceived in the womb. And the mere fact that is a desire of your daughter, Father, I ask that you will meet that desire in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I see. I hope I answered. Did I answer your question? And now, before we even go on to Simonia, did I?
Yes, ma'am.
Help.
Yes, ma'am. Right.
I will try and look for these scriptures as well. Simonia, okay. You could go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Hi.
Yes, it's indeed a blessing. I'm listening to you. It's indeed. Just my experience I want to share. Whatever you have said is really confirmation is truth. Everybody have different experiences and levels as you grow. But I'm sharing mine. When the Lord, it's like I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And yes, I found persons that really were God chasers after God. And I was like Mary, you know, at the feet of Jesus. And yeah, I desire everything that I saw. And they were talking about God and the manifestation and the Holy Spirit and whatever. But it took me a whole year anyway to have the experience. I realized due to attitude and anger and all these kind of things, you know, there was a lot of that. And God wanted to deal with that and stuff. So it did happen. And after when God, I was really speaking hungry and thirsty. And everything I heard a brethren was saying, I was actually personally in my heart asking the Lord. When the Lord poured his spirit, his anointing upon me, 3 days I am walking and like any wind could blow me off. Mm-hmm. 3 days fire of tongue. And it's like, Lord, what is going on? What is going on? Flow of fire of tongues. And I want to, you know, but at certain times, if I have to encounter talking to people, yes, it comes just naturally. It comes. And I'm saying, what kind of thing is that? But the thing is, I begin to get a lot of criticism in church. And people started saying, okay, she's photocopying what she's seeing on television and all of that. Thank God for all of those trials. It has brought me closer. What I want to say is like the Holy Spirit himself, while seeking God, and it's like you're seeking for answers. And my elders, yeah, they a lot of them were not able to really read and to give the scriptures at that time. I was young, but I begin to seek the Lord. So I begin seeking the Lord and asking questions. Lord, what is going on? What about me? Because I couldn't get the answers that I needed. The Holy Spirit actually began leading me and guiding me. Sometimes the Holy Spirit said, look, go. And one time the Holy Spirit said, I want you to take a little olive oil and drink and go and lie down. And that was it. And I caught up and begin to have some sudden experience. So with the tongues, there are times I used to, because of the criticism, I used to resist. One time I was watching a program on the television. I said, God, tell me what is going on. Did you give these other people certain tongues and we don't have it? The Lord begins speaking. The Holy Spirit begins speaking to me and said, look, there's that baby tongue. That baby tongue. It's like you were not open. The disciples was full. They opened up to the Lord and the Lord pour upon them. But we always been content. As soon as we get a little, you see how babies speak? They don't speak clear. It's like we get filled and we still throw in our little baby tongues. We don't open up and receive. We're not asking God more. So I begin asking God and desires. The Lord begin to, you know, actually manifest through the tongues. And as the Spirit of the Lord would give me that scripture in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, you know, and I started seeking 14, I started praying. And all the time I'm saying, okay, God, you're giving me, waking me up. So is there the message you want me to learn? Let me learn. So as I began to allow the Holy Spirit to manifest through me and accept, though it says you're not a custom and people are saying things. So sometimes the Holy Spirit would tell me, I want you to pray in tongues. Like, let your prayer be you praying. Because I begin learning and studying the scripture that the tongues is to also to build you. It's for you as well. It's to build up your spirit. You know, correct. Sometimes you feel burdened and you don't have a break from you. It does so much that we don't even fully understand. And I begin going and I realize as allowing this to happen, a lot of transformation begins taking place in my life. Then I begin studying. I realize in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 14, so I read and I realized it says, "For wherefore let him that prayeth in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret." So when you have the gift, you have the gift. Understand, recognize the gift that God releases upon us through the Holy Spirit. And we need to appreciate. If you recognize, you accept. It's recognizing, this is what God gave, release unto me, we accept it. Sometimes a lot of us don't even recognize. So when you don't recognize, you cannot fully accept. You understand? When we accept in the fullness of understanding, we will not understand everything. So then now, when we begin to accept and recognize, okay, Lord, this is what, so I appreciate and I open up to you, just do what you have to do. So I begin trying my best to do all of that. And I actually learned quite a lot. There are days that the Lord would use me. And then my church begin confusion and, oh, the Bible says when one speaking in tongue, that one needs to begin to interpret. And I begin understanding. There are days God uses me to speak in tongue and right away, just after, he releases the interpretation because I learned to pray because Paul says pray. So if you don't pray, we must pray when you understand that scripture. So I begin praying and say, okay, God, okay. Brother Paul says, you recognize the gift, pray, Father, you release. You, the gift is there so because it's to edify persons as well. So we pray that God, you releases your interpretation of over my life. So people will be edified. It's not just taking pleasure of building my spirit, but then people will be edified. They will receive. I will not be the only one receiving and be happy. So I begin and I begin praying and I realize God was operating in this way. He's operating. We had a 21 days fast. The Lord began to plans we had for the fast and God began to take us from point A to where we reach. And the Spirit of the Lord one time, one night, Pastor allowed me to lead. And God started ministering and saying, look, I have released gift upon y'all and y'all, a lot of y'all do not recognize and neither accept the gift. And I want persons to accept, recognize the gift and accept the gift. Unless it is not been recognized and accept, you receive, it will not manifest. No. And I want my church, because that is why the body of Christ, the congregation is the way it is. Because this is where people don't understand and a lot of things is happening. So from there, I open up and God begin to use me praying, you know, and praying against things and praying that God will manifest. And up to a day as today, God is still dealing with us on that path. Understanding, and you see, you love, it's like people give you a gift. And that's where we learn. We need to learn to appreciate what God. It doesn't matter what gift, but appreciate. Unless we don't recognize this is our gift, don't be jealous over the other person or doubt the other person. Receive the gift and appreciate the gift, no matter how it is. And the Lord will just use, when we have an open heart, God will just take pleasure to just pour and pour and pour and pour. And it would come amazingly to see what God can do. Because it's to build up the church and also you. And sometimes when God is dealing with you, it's you. Sometimes speaking in tongues don't have to do with any of your congregation people. But as well as we learn, we just need to have self-control, lower our voice and things like that. And, you know, keep it when it's for ourselves, keep it to ourselves. And these are when I used to pray with group. Oh, God, when I get criticized with the choir and I said, God, what do I do? Because the grown-ups only criticizing me and telling me, but they can't explain things. I seek the Lord. And God instructed me through his Holy Spirit. Okay, if because persons sometimes they have fear, they are fearful. Fear is one of what that will prevent you from receiving. doubt, because we wonder, is this really the Lord or is it really me? Because persons have been saying so many things. So God would use us to encourage. So sometimes God would use me to say, okay, just relax, use me if I'm praying for you. Relax and receive. Just open up unto God, and these are the words. You know, now persons begin to build up the confidence and opening up. And it's just God would just use me to speak, and I would just see God's manifesting glory, and persons would begin now to open up and receive. Because persons in their mind believe that, you know, because of what they have heard, it's not me, it's not, I don't have to. But there are days, warfare and all of that. We really sometimes don't know what we are praying against. But the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit maketh intercession with groaning that cannot be uttered. When we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit is the one doing the job. And this is what we need to do, because I now, yes, God has used me a lot in terms of giving me understanding about that, because I had nobody. Persons, of even the very people I was praying with, when God began to raise me up, they themselves doubted. It was just one sister that says, you know what, Sister Brown, this experience, we are not familiar with it. And people used to come to her and say, it's not a familiar. I tell you, I had reached to a point of doubting God, because people say I had an evil spirit. So I say, okay, they are there before me, and I accepted that. Jesus, I went down zero, dry biscuits. A dream the Lord gave me. I had to repent, and I had to accept back and say, God. And the Lord allowed that to happen. So when I, you know, because in life you go through trials so you can be stronger. It was not easy, but it's a lot that of us to do. Because as the God gave me the scripture and I read for myself, and I realized the gift, you know, it's a gift to build up your own self and build up the church, edification and all of that. But because Paul says, I wish that everybody would speak with tongues. But it gives, there's a scripture again, he speaks and say, it is when you have it, it is good for us, our personal spiritual being. So we need to appreciate this gift, and we need to ask the Lord, Father, help us love it. It's just like somebody give you a gift. You love it. You appreciate it. That's why it's good to appreciate, you know, accept. We need that. We need to understand that, because since I understood it for myself, and right now that the Lord has spoken and the church is trying to really, persons are understanding things, even pastor. Even my pastor had a huge problem, but I constantly being humble and going to him when the Lord led me, and until he had to really do a confession and say, Sister Brown, you know, thank you so much for your patience with me and all of that and so forth. And I was doubtful about the tongues, and so wow, it is so much of a good experience, but we just need the understanding and appreciate, receive it. It's for us and it's for the body, and we just need to pray. We that know, because you should know. Some persons, it don't flow so frequent in them, but you need to desire more, more, more. More is just as you, if you want to speak different languages, as to going to school to learn, is the same way we have the great teacher, the Holy Spirit. If we want to, the Holy Spirit to manifest in such, you love, oh boy, the experience is so sweet and you can't finish explain it. You just love and appreciate and say, Holy Spirit, I love you, and I love your the way you work. I love the gifting. I love operation, and you just cherish that. And that would happen just, you know, naturally. And it's been part of you. Unless you don't cherish it and appreciate it, it's just inside. You open your mouth when you want, sometimes you want to speak to people, you want to say, and the word naturally, tongues will just naturally begin flowing, you know? So there's a lot to say, but anyway, let me give you the opportunity. Thank God.
We can go 2 hours on it. Mm-hmm. Yes, thanks, Simonia. Yes.
You're welcome.
And you see what Simonia said is so real. Because there are certain, as I said, there are some denominations that do not believe in tongues. I remember, let me tell you, and it's, as you say, it's really knowledge, you know. So this is not the first time that I heard, you see what Samanya was saying, it's not the first time I heard it. And the reason why I can speak on it, apart from the fact that I have experience, is because there was a young lady that worked in my office, and she's younger than I am. And you know, a desire for the Lord. And I remember, I can't even remember how the conversation started, you know, but whenever I have a chance, we would talk about the word. And I mentioned something about tongues, and she was like, but we don't talk in tongues, her particular denomination. We don't talk in tongues, you don't believe in that. And furthermore, when you do it, you're only supposed to do it in crowds where you have someone to interpret, because then the others don't understand. Let me tell you, the Lord sent me straight in the scriptures. By next day, I come back ready. Because it's like, the good thing for me is that I had already had the experience, right? So it's no for me to just come and apply the knowledge. The Lord sent me in the scriptures and the Lord deal with me. The Lord show me, listen, it's two. One for you, one for the body. All two of them critical. As it relates to the one in the body, he will orchestrate that. Me, I have as it relates to me praying in spirit, in terms of edifying myself, I am the person that could initiate, or he could initiate it too. You know, as someone, you say sometimes you go into a situation, sometimes you at work in a meeting and something said, and you break out into, and it's be like, yeah, Ashley, wait, hold it down. All right, Ashley, settle down. And you just break out in tongues because this is folly. You see what's going on, and then sometimes you'll be praying in tongues, and the Lord just allow you to see clear what's going on. And speaking in tongues, you don't always have to do it audibly. You could do it. I remember older lady told me once, Ashley, you don't always have to do it audibly, because it was in a situation. I mean, just start in tongues, boy. That's all I know to do. And after she speak to me, she said, Ashley, everybody don't always have to know. You could also do it inside of here. You could talk in tongues in your mind too, right? So that the people, everybody don't know. But the Lord, you know, you're dealing with the Lord, asking the Lord to bring clarity. And even as you speak in tongues, sometimes, you know what you're supposed to do? Which is what my big list here. You are supposed to, it's like you setting your mind on something. It's like the Lord, I asking the Lord, what's going on here? What really going on here? What, you know, something here, it seems something in right here. I don't know what it is. Show me what it is. And you're talking in tongues. But that's where your mind is, to asking the Lord, what's going on here? What's going on here? You're just talking in tongues. But you asking the Lord, what's going on here? And the Lord begin to speak. You know? I think I saw Kenya's hand was up before we go to Sabrina. Kenya, you had your hand up.
Yes, I did. But you basically covered it, because when you speak in tongues, I mean, you know, it seems like you can just go on forever and ever. And it just, everything just comes. And sometimes you just find yourself for such a long time, you don't even realize the time has passed. But, you know, anything that God has laid on your heart, and especially when you are bothered by something in your spirit, and you need to get to God, and you can't say it in English, but when it rests upon your heart and you start to speak, and then you start to cry, and you know that God is hearing you when you're speaking in tongues, and it's just like sometimes you'll be exhausted when you finish, because all that is laid on your heart. And when you speak in tongues, you know, it's such a relief that, you know, at least God gets the word. He know, he understands. And all the things that you couldn't explain, and the things that you didn't know how to, it comes. And for me, when I learned, and I was in a Bible study, and I had a really good teacher. And like you said, he said to practice it. He told me what to do. But within that Bible study, I got it. And from then, the rest is history, because I run with it. And you know, it sounds so powerful, because you just speak and you speak and you speak, and it gives you, you know, and you know, when we practice it is good. It's really good.
And sometimes it's just a release. Because a lot of times we are in situations and we don't know what to do, and I just begin to speak in tongues. So there are, I remember, and you know what really, this really stood out to me. I knew that there are some denominations that don't believe in it. But I remember when a particular ministry came to Barbados, and it was, and the thing about it, it was non-denominational. So, you know, it's like everybody welcome. You know what they said to us? They said, to don't pray in tongues on the platform, because it would throw off some people. Not that they don't believe, they know the importance of it, but they just made it clear to us, you know, that would actually, because at the end of the day, you got to operate in wisdom. So I understood exactly what they meant, because you don't want to shut off people, because some people, when you begin to pray in tongues, they shut off because they don't believe in it, right? That doesn't mean that you don't pray in tongues or you shouldn't, but just be mindful, right? And I remember when he said that, I was like, you, man, there's a big issue in the church, because, you know, it shouldn't be so, because it shouldn't be divided, because the word speak clearly about it. You know, The Lord tell you, the word speaks clearly, and it works. It works. And it is, it's a useful tool. So again, as I said, if you don't do it, that doesn't mean that you're not a Christian, but it's a useful weapon. And you know, when you're in battle, every weapon that available you want. So if you want a knife, I want the knife, I want the sword, I want the gun, I want the axe, I want everything. I just don't want a gun. I want everything. Just in case somebody sneak up on me and I have my knife, that close range, I could deal with them at close range. So it's every weapon. You want everything that available to you. Right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you're not a Christian, but it's just a weapon. It's another weapon. You know, it's another gift. It's a gift. But when I say gift, I don't mean gift as in for certain people. It's a gift from God available to all of you. Everybody. I'm glad that Danelle asked that question. Sabrina, you can go ahead, and then Brendalee.
I just want to say thanks to Simonia for her sharing, mm-hmm. because it was great in terms of encouraging and reminding me. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to share something that happened just yesterday when we allow the Holy Spirit to be in charge. I am responsible for health and family life education in our country, junior and senior high schools, 163. And I have had a challenge from day one in terms of the timetabling of it, in terms of people realizing its importance. And it was yesterday in a meeting. I didn't say a word. I didn't have to say a word. We were looking at the way forward in terms of the reopening of school face-to-face and possibly hybrid. And, you know, the lady who was in charge, the first thing she said as she came on was, she had to repent the night before for family life and the way they had kind of treated us and put us on the back burner. And she called my name and health and family life was just being highlighted. And I just said, thank you, God, you know, for the prayers and the belief and just encouraging the teachers, no matter what. You know, no matter what is said, no matter the challenges that administration may give or whatever. And I would tell them that, you know, this isn't your job. This is a ministry, because I have been praying and asking God to bring the right teachers who love. For me, the first qualification was love, not what kind of paper qualifications you have. Because if you love the children, then I know everything is going to be well. And so I was just rejoicing yesterday that finally, you know, yes, and I'm about to debate office, but I was like, thank you, God, everything is being revealed, you know? And so I just wanted to share that with us this morning to say, you know, sometimes it may take years, because I mean, it's been like over 30 years, you know, but now they're seeing it, and they were saying, hey, we have to do this. This is so important. The psychosocial needs of the children need to be met, that they have to get the life skills. And I said, thank you, God. Thank you all.
Okay. Thanks for that, Sabrina. The Lord spoke specifically to those in education in the prophetic word. I hope you saw it. You saw it? In the prophetic word 2021.
I'll have to read it again.
Read it, because he speaks specifically to my daughters in education. He spoke about morals. So you should read it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so look back. I will tell you what page it is.
Okay.
Meantime, but let Brendalee go ahead.
I also want to say, from my experience with tongue, it also breaks strongholds, habits. And when I first became a Christian, I struggled with some things, and it wasn't until I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and praying constantly in tongues that I realized. And when I did realize it, the Holy Spirit brought it to my attention. and said, do you realize this don't happen no more, that don't happen no more. That. So it not only built us up spiritually in our most holy faith, but it cleans us, it breaks habit, it pulls down stronghold, it cleans us up. And like I should say, it has to start with the desire. And I know when I received it in a church service. It was a few of us they lay a hand on to receive the Holy Spirit. But I guess my desire was stronger because it was something I really, really desired. Because I realized that coming back home to San Salvador, people were looking at me like, you know, well, we know you and da 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 da. Until the Lord moved on me in one church service. And then I was like, oh Lord, now you really need to help me because people could think I'm a bag of chip and so much more. And I know why all of that. And when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it came with a prophetic word and someone that was in the congregation visiting from Nassau from one of the government departments had the interpretation of it. And from that day to this, my tongue, I never ceased to use my prayer language. Sometimes not as much as I were doing. And I find it depends on the season you're in. You use it more sometimes than the other. Because some season, the battle is not. God is giving you a season of rest. So mm-hmm. you just fast in the Lord and what he's doing. Mm-hmm. The battle is not as strong and hard, so you don't have to use that weapon as much. But I, like I said, I don't know why I just keep pressing on me to say that it breaks strongholds and habits.
It does.
I don't know.
Yeah, it needed highlighting.
It does.
Mm-hmm. It needed to be highlighted because that's exactly what it does. It deals with you, and that's a part of the whole edification of self. You know, that's what it does, because before the Lord could do anything, he has to deal with, you know, what's in us. You know? So that's why, again, it is so important. It is so important, the ability to tool. So as again, it begins with a desire to do, right? It begins with a desire to do. You know, our time is soon up, but I pulled like two chapters I really want us to focus on. Let me just read here for Sabrina quick before I move on. It says, I am sure that I pulled this from the prophetic word and not the, did everyone receive the first quarter alert from headquarters? The alert, the prayer alert for the first quarter from the headquarters? I can hear somebody distant. Sorry?
I think I received an email. I went through it. I think I received, yes, I did.
A prayer alert. So yes. So this, I think this word, I'm going to read it for someone, for Sabrina, in terms of education. I think this came in the prophetic word. But if it isn't in the prophetic word, it's in the prayer alert. But let me just read it. It says, emphasize moral education. Make it a standard. Tell my children in the education sector to make the teaching of morals a standard. Morality and truth are gradually being denied and removed from academics. My people do not know, see, or understand. It is a gradual thing. A lot of work needs to be done in schools. The right foundation has to be laid in the lives of the children in primary school and tertiary institutions. This area has been neglected. Strategize on how to penetrate into schools and lay the right foundation. And then it was me that gave this. I think that was them. A scripture I add, which is a train at the children in the way they must go. So you must look for that, Sabrina. So go through the prophetic word for that.
Yes, ma'am.
Right. Good.
I have been given an assignment that I am working on now.
Good. Good, 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 good. Right. So I just want to look at two, because we don't have much time, but like two areas. Let me just look at this one here first. Maintaining your personal prayer altar. So that's important as it relates to effective prayer. So let me just read through here quickly and then go into the other two parts. So it says, be more with the Lord than with activity. So that's like spending more time with the Lord. This is on page 62. Maintain your personal prayer altar. Be more with the Lord than with activity. So spending more time with the Lord. And I think that's in the prophetic word too for this year. You know, just spending more time with him. Not being busy. The word tells us about some things being what? It says about being permissible. Meaning that, yes, some things are good, but they aren't necessary. So we have to be very mindful of when to say no. There are so many clusters of activities around you that make you not to give concrete times of okay, that make you not to give okay. So basically it's saying there's so many clusters of activities around us that pull us away from setting concrete times with the Lord, which again, like how I was saying, the Lord told me 5 o'clock in the mornings with him and I need to do it, right? I need to get up in time to do it, sleep early enough so I could get up in time to do it. It says, what do you call it? Devotion time, isn't it? So he's saying here is a devotion time. So you have to devote time to do it, right? It says, do you know what devotion means? God wants personal devotion with you. Make time for God in your closet. Make time for God in your home. Not corporate, but personal. And I remember the Lord dealt with me concerning that. He was saying, you know, like when you love someone, You always, when you go to meet with them, you bring people with you or you just want to spend alone time. So why is it every time I see you, you got somebody with you? Every time I see you, you have people with you. I want you by yourself though. I want to spend intimate time with you alone. So don't be coming and bringing friends. Because it was like every time I come before the Lord, I come in with people. I want some time with you by yourself though. Because when you love someone, that's what you do. You want alone time. You don't bring friends or family. You come by yourself, right? So it says, make time for God in your home, not corporate, but personal devotions. That is what God, this is when God reaches you personally. You will work together with him, like magnet attracting each other. You will attract him and he will attract you. God's personal relationship with you modifies you and does a lot in your well-being, behavior, attitude, and character. And it's so true. That's why it speaks, the scriptures tell you, what does a young man need to do to keep his way pure? Follow the word. Stay in the word. And we know that's so true. You know, the Lord just, spending time with the Lord, it just refreshes you. You know, and it takes your mind off of the other stuff, the fluff, you know. I remember I was going through a season once and the Lord told me, Ashley, set your mind on things that beautiful, the things that are a good report, the things that are true. And I was like, this is so much. And as we were telling me, that's your response when they come to you with all of this. You're telling me, set my mind on things that are beautiful and pure and a good report. But guess what? You know, I started to do it. So it's like you have an option. So when a situation comes, you could either choose to be swept away with all of the confusion or just think about something that is beautiful. So all of this going on, let me go and sit down on the beach and just spend a little time with the Lord. All of this going on. But guess what? You know, the Lord, he do this for me though. You know, out of all of these people that were in the office, the Lord choose me to be the one that travel to receive the training, you know, this here happening. But yet, you know, I am the one that the Lord used to go and do. So he's saying, you know, like, so it's like knowing where to place your thoughts. Yes, there's so many things going on around you, right? And worry will not help you. You know, just carry it to the Lord. I keep speaking to myself even though. Lord, help us. You cannot be close to God and allow the flesh to dictate what you do. No, God wants you to cultivate the simplicity of living your life to please him, being free from the dictates of the flesh. You can only acquire this by cultivating a rich personal relationship with God. And I find in terms of doing that, it's just like setting deliberate times where you will meet with him. And then he would go from there. It will go even further from there. He will speak in terms of what he wants you to do. Because then he realized he could trust you, that you're dependable. So he will give you more to do, you know. You can't only acquire this by cultivating a rich personal relationship with God. God wants real closeness with you. You will be afraid to allow any kind of defilement in your life when you are close to God. And that's so true. Is that the closer you get to the Lord, the more deliberate you would be about, you know, doing certain things, which is again like a regular physical relationship. If you're in a relationship with someone and you know that there are certain things this person does not like, even though it might not matter to you, but you would be deliberate not to do them because you know how it makes the other person feel. And it's the same thing with us and the Lord. Before you do anything, you will examine and weigh it. Realize that no time given to God is too much. So no time is too much time not given. Even if, let me tell you, I don't even know how I could break this down even clearer, more clear. It says, realize that no time given is too much not given to the Lord. So God wants you personally for more intimate relationship. Do you think God is tired of being with you? Definitely not. You are the one tired of being with him. And that's an embarrassment. Lord, forgive me. Forgive us. No time you give God is enough.
True.
Yeah. You are bored in his presence, aren't you? Why should this happen? That's embarrassing too. You're bored in his presence when you shouldn't be. God wants to bring you into a level of relationship in which it will be a delight unto you to be with him. Imagine you're in a relationship with someone and you love this body. And you could use the two of you going to dinner and you could just look at any person's face and see that they're just passing time because they want to be somewhere else. How you would feel? Terrible. Lord, forgive me. Because I don't want you to feel so. Because the Lord is the only body I could depend on. I can't depend on nobody else when I'm going through. So I definitely don't want him feeling like that. God wants to bring you into a level of relationship in which you will be a delight unto you. And sorry, God wants to bring you into a level of relationship in which it will be a delight unto you to be with him. And that's what we desire, Lord. That level is attained when your mind seeks God, when you begin to have a longing for his presence. I remember when the Lord brought down the scripture that says, when you seek him with all your heart, that's the place where you will find him. I remember when the Lord dealt with me concerning that. I was a young Christian. And, you know, I got into the constantly reading and praying and everything. And like, I was able to see and hear the Lord so clear. And the Lord told me, now you see, it's when you seek me with everything that in you is in that place. That's the place where you just find me. You know, the Lord was so, I was like, wow, I now understand. Because it's only in seeking something that you can find it. So just sitting down and saying, I can't find my key. You will never find it. It's when you go looking that you will find it. It says, you will not find it difficult relating with him. How many hours do you give God in a day? How many times do you rub minds with him? I know it's like, I used to say, well, the Lord on my mind. The Lord always on my mind. Wherever I go, whatever I'm doing, the Lord always on my mind. But that's not good enough. He wants deliberate time away for just him. For just him. You know? So the Lord just reinforcing here the importance of that personal prayer altar, which is a set time, a set place. If it's in your bedroom, you know you're coming 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock set aside for the Lord, regardless of who call or if you're hungry or whatever, when 6 o'clock, be there. And I speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself too. Because I have two prayer times with the Lord. And I'm not always, you know, deliberate to meet them. And I need to. So let's look now from there. I want to talk about the practical issues in prayer. Before I go on to this last point. So practical issues in prayer, it says, when you pray, tell God definite things. Actually, I think I went through this in the teaching. So that's a very important thing, that when you pray, that we must be specific. I can't even reinforce that even more. As you pray, we must be specific. You know, don't be beating all over the place. You know that your finger hurting and you telling the Lord it's your hand. Tell the Lord that it's your finger. My finger hurting me. The finger up on the right hand. My little finger up on my right hand is what hurting. I want help. I hurt my finger. I sprained my finger. You know, with this whole COVID, everything. You know, I had this bad habit of going into the office and pulling a heavy door with my little finger. You know, just a habit. I would just with the finger and pull a heavy door because it's the glass doors at the beginning, at the entrance to our office. It's two big, heavy doors. And I would have a habit of hooking it with my little finger and pulling. And the morning I was rushing and do it and the finger slip off. Listen, man, that finger hurt me so bad. And I felt it. Like it literally came here. The thing, it ran through my hand. And then it ended here. So then I can't use the hand. I can't use the hand to do anything. I anoint it. I pray. You know, it ease up in the night. Let me tell you, my hand hurt me so bad that night. My hand, I had to sleep with my hand like this. Imagine that. Just from my little finger, I had to sleep with the hand sore in the bed. I'm not jerking it or anything. And then, you know, I would pray about this. I would pray and pray on the hand, anoint it and pray. The hand would be strong. And then like anytime, like any sudden jerks, the finger hurting again. And I praying with this hand, I'm praying with this finger that the Lord, because I can't continue. You know, I work in administration, so I constantly type in. So it can't be that I, you know, that this hand hurting me, and I rejecting and rebuking carpal tunnel because I ain't want nothing. You can't see me. I doing some of everything. And I remember we went on a retreat to Mustique. We went to link up with ladies in St. Vincent. And we were just having a casual conversation, you know, we were getting to know each other. And the lady, she's actually the national coordinator now for St. Vincent. She said, someone in here hand, no, the finger hurting and the finger on the right hand. I mean, she called me right out on the right hand, you know, and I mean, and she said, and it hurts you. It like hurts in here. And I was like, it's me. She said, come, the grace for healing is here. Come. I mean, the Lord called me right. Oh, and we weren't talking about healing. We were having a conversation, just trying to get to know each other. And just so she said, somebody, one of the two of you, because it was me and Liz, one of the two of you, your finger hurting it on this hand here, and it's down here that hurting. And they said, it was me. It's me. And she hold the hand and pray for it. You know, it ain't hurt me since then. Because she said, receive it. And I receive it in Jesus' name. Because it's me that was asking ever since. Right? And it that was like 2 weeks or something. So I said, it was me that was asking. It's I wanted it. It ain't hurt me since then in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. So being specific in our prayers is critical. Sabrina, you wanted to say something?
Yes, just I had an asterisk at two of them from the class. Mm-hmm. When you get to set a priority in prayer and your prayer in sequences, sequence part got me. Mm-hmm. And then the one that says pray with observation and listen while praying. I want to be very clear on those two, please.
All right, cool. So let me go through. All right. So when you make long, okay, good. When you make long winding prayers without making specific requests, you waste time. That's just what you spoke about. When a prayer is specific, you will know when the answer is received. That's just what a good example I just gave. Avoid asking too many things at a time. Again, that's being specific. Set a priority in prayer and put your prayer in sequence. So what is your priority? You who hurt him more? What hurt him more? You have a family member that is sick. That's priority. So if you have three things, right? Say that a family member sick, well, God forbid, you just use examples. For instance, if a family member is sick, you want a raise in your job, salary. And then the third one could be that you want something fixed in your house. Something in the house ain't working and you want it fixed, right? But it's important. These are three important things, right? Three important things. So what is priority? right? Or for the, or actually, like the self, say you're praying with somebody for salvation, a family member is ill, you want a salary increase. Which is priority? Which is priority out of those three things for you, Sabrina?
The salvation.
Salvation.
The
salvation. Salvation, the illness, sick. And
yeah.
Good. So the Lord is saying here, set a priority in prayer. Which more important you handling first, right? I put it in a sequence. So you know you got to deal with the salvation first, the body that's sick next, and then your salary increase because he is the least important. So he's number three. He's the last thing I'm dealing with. Right? Okay. So it's just about being like deliberate and being specific and not praying all over the place. So this is what we come to deal with. This is what we come to deal with. I want the girl's salvation. I know I want the other girl heal. And then my salary increase. I end the day, the Lord, he's take care of me. Don't let me say that because that's important too. Because money's answer all things. Right? Mm-hmm. Money answers all things. And you want so that you could give others and only for you.
Yes.
All right. So that's important too. So those are three important things, but you know the priority and you put them in sequence. That's basically, I hope I answered. You understand?
Yes.
How? Good. Great. Then it says the woman with the issue of blood, she was specific. We know that. Hannah, again, was specific. She wanted a boy child. And Lord, I can give back to you. I want him, but I can bring him back to you for service in the kingdom. And she kept her word. Blind Bartimaeus, I can't see. I want sight. He was specific. God hears and attends to your prayers. Don't keep praying for issues or things that God has dealt with. This constitutes a waste of time. So you already received. And the Lord reads through them things. I here trying to just think of a classic example. You ask the Lord about something. You know, sometimes, like for instance, you might even pray for something and you will see it in the natural, but the Lord already tell you he deal with it. You might not even see it manifest as yet in the natural, right? But in your spirit, the Lord tell you it is dealt with and you still are bombarding the Lord with the same thing. We do it because you know what? Because we didn't see it yet in the natural. So it's like, it really happened or it happened. Although I know the Lord tell me that it's settled, the matter settled, I still reminding him, no, move on to something else. You throw your prayers like scattered arrows when you are not specific. Aim to make your prayers hit the target. Be specific when praying for your nation. So you know there are certain things. You know that the government trying to get the LGBT bill through the back door. Deal with it in prayer. The spending too much, the borrowing too much money from all over the place when the Lord is resource. Deal with it in prayer, right? So it's not that you pray in general, oh Lord, I ask that you will help Barbados, Father, you know, we need help. We want a righteous government. No, you're being specific. Ah, Lord, thank you for reminding me. Sometimes I'm guilty of that. Praying too general for the government. You gotta be specific. So many prayers get answered, you could say, Lord, thank you, oh God, for dealing with that bill, for canceling it. I thank you, oh God, for dealing with the debt problem in Barbados, for sending help so that we know are not indebted to the IMF and that they will be able to come and put their plans on us and whatever. But Lord, you sent from your own hand and we, you know, so you go back and be specific. Pray with observation while praying. Pray with observation and listen. So that simply means don't just be talking. Me and you in a conversation. So, all right, I need help. So it's like me and you, Sabrina. This is what we do. We need help, right?
Mm.
We come to the Lord. All right. So, Lord, is my toe that hurting me, my finger, my ankle, my hair. I want my hair. I want something to grow my hair. I want to say I this, and you know what else? And oh, and this I want fixing too, and this and this and this. So you forever talking, but you are giving the Lord chance to talk, to respond, and you are observing, you are just waiting to see, like you're not being observant in that you're not giving him room to respond. And even as he responds, like it's the same thing like Vickler was saying, is that you're focusing in on the Lord. Because when you're focusing in, you're being observant, you're observing, you want to see how he can move.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then he begins to speak. So it's just being alert.
Okay.
And even as you are alert, not alert is not the right word. Alert is not the right word. Is that you having a conversation and you being aware. Yes, aware. Just being aware. The large, you just be observant. Like, I don't even know how more I could explain. So prayer with observation and listen while praying is you being like aware. I am praying and I expect that the Lord would respond. And even as he responds, this should be my position. Or even as he responds, this is my next question. Right?
Right.
Or I need clarity on this. This is what happening. And you know, sometimes the Lord is respond to us, right? But just the way how he does it as well could help you. Like answers. Because sometimes you will have a dream. And you will ask the person, what happened in the dream? Right? And they tell you, I had to make a choice out of A and B. And I choose B. And then you ask them, all right, coming out of the dream, how did you feel coming out of that dream? Were you scared? Did you have peace? Did you come up with a song? And it's just you being very, you know, and depending on what the person says, then, you know, okay, so this is what really happening, X, Y, Z. Because it's not always like what happened, you know, but it's like, how did you feel in the midst? You know, sometimes you're in a dream and then depending on how the Lord responds in the dream, you know, you have peace. Other times, you know, that is the Lord dealing with you. Sometimes, you know, the Lord dealing with the situation. Other times it's you that he really dealing with. And it's just depending on, so you got to be observant. You know, you got to observe it. So it's just not being like myopic. Like, all right, I ask the Lord, he respond. I ask the Lord, he respond. No. Depending on how he responds, you know how to even dig deeper. And then to ask then, so then, Daddy, what does that mean for me? You know? So even as you say, the answer is B. But how does that look like for me? Many times I ask the Lord, so, because I visual. So I would ask the Lord, yes or no? And if he said no, and it would be like, so how no look? How it look? Right? How does that look? I don't know how that look. I don't know how to get there, Daddy. So show me how it looks. And then the Lord is just showing me how it look. I remember a time I was a friend of mine and like we had a disagreement and I was like, you know what? All right, again, we could operate. I could be very cordial. And the Lord told me, no, you can't be cordial. You got to operate in love. I said, well, how that look? Because you know how that look. And the Lord said, it looked like praying for her. That is what it looked like. And you know what I had to do? Then go and pray. And then my heart got soft. Mm-hmm. So it's just like being, you know, it's not like, you know, you're just being observant. It's like all of your senses, you're using open all of your senses. Okay. So it's not just you speaking. But your heart, you know, you're really hearing, you know, you're seeing. It's like being observant. Is it activating your senses, you know, mm-hmm. even as you pray, you know, because we know that the Lord is doing respond one way all the time. Mm-hmm. He's responding different ways, right? Yes. It says pray with reasoning, pray with contemplation, pray with anticipation. Let me see what this Isaiah 1:18 says in terms of prayer with reasoning. I got a.
Come, let us reason together, says the Lord.
Again, that's back and forth between you and the Lord, which is just what we were talking about. We reasoning. So I didn't know what that looked like. So help me to understand what it looked like, Daddy. Because I want to do it. You see, that's the thing. So it's not like the Lord is disgusted at the fact that you have other questions, more questions. You know, he responds and you still got questions. No. He knows your heart. Daddy, this is what you say and they want to do it. So help me understand how it looks. Show me how it looks. Help me. You know, lead me. And that's it. And all of that boils right back down to being specific in prayer. That's what it says. You know, be specific. Be specific. And then it even went on to talk about discussion, which is what we just talked about. It says having a prayer dialogue, discussion. You can dialogue with God in prayer. This takes place when you come chatting with him. This is actually rubbing minds with your father. Discussion involves reasoning, conversation, and sharing. It's an exchange of ideas. In chatting, you can open up to God, your father. God is looking for children who will sit down and chat with him. Learn to discuss and reason together with him. You've missed hours of prayer because you are waiting for what you call prayer time. So this note is like just like a lifestyle of constantly engaging the Lord. So you in the bank and it's like, Lord, like me coming home at evenings, I'd be like, Lord, when I get girl, Lord, go up before me and create a clear path. So I gonna get down to class. Lord, help me. You know, and then he would be, all right, take this turn. Make this turn here, Ashley. Go cross out this line. And I'm like, Lord Jesus, Father, thank you. Because if you didn't show me that road, I would be still in the traffic. Thank you, Jesus. You know, like a constant, you know, like engaging. And not just waiting until the set prayer time. So you pray at 5, you pray at 6. Those aren't the only two times during the day that you engage him or you discuss with him or talk with him. But it's supposed to be a constant, you know, a constant dialogue. It says, as you discuss with God, you are praying. Those heavy burdens you carry will not, why not release them in discussion? Release those burdens to God, for his yoke is easy and burden is light. You go heavy because you cannot unburden your mind. You've not created the hour of discussion. God is looking for a people who will chat with him. This is prayer. Please pay particular attention to this teaching and learn from your mistakes. That's true. Me, I learning. Oh, 11:04. We gotta hurry up and close off. We're going over. But I wanted us to really look at these different types of prayer. So then I will just do that and we will close. That's okay. So we will just try to go through quickly because now it's 11:00. So we over by 4 minutes already. So let me see if I could just do it in like 15 minutes. So it says prayer types. The Bible teaches different patterns of prayer, each one having its own rules and attendant results. In Ephesians 6:18, it says Paul admonishes all serious Christians to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit for the saints. Also in 2 Thessalonians 5:17, the great apostle urges all believers to pray without ceasing. It says, now let's take a look at each prayer type and study the rules that govern it. So the first one it talks about is praise and thanksgiving. So it says the book of Psalms is replete with this kind of prayer. David knew how to praise God even when he found himself in difficult situations. This wholesome attitude endeared him to God's heart. In several scriptures, the Spirit of God admonishes us to bless the Lord with everything that's in us. As a matter of fact, everything that breathes should praise the Lord. Psalm 156. As the psalmist says, whoso offereth praise glorifies God. The Bible enjoins us to give thanks in everything, not only in fair weather, but at all times and in every condition. Christians should understand that the devil will go an extra mile to see what we don't praise God. The Bible enjoins us to give thanks in everything, not only in fair weather, but at all times and in every condition. Christians should understand that the devil will go an extra mile to see that we don't praise God, but we should make a conscious effort to obey God and praise him. Murmuring and complaining delays answers to our prayers, but praise brings a speedy answer. Remember that the dead cannot praise the Lord. That's important, that the dead cannot praise him, right? And that the enemy will go to all lengths so that we don't praise the Lord, so that we will be frustrated, upset, everything. And don't have that, you know, just like sometimes it's be like, Lord, it's like you ain't even able. Right? And that's what the enemy wants, to wear us out so we can praise God. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Praise opens prison doors. Just hold a second for me. So it says, praise opens prison doors. Praise is a praise is an acceptable sacrifice. Praise is a weapon of warfare, which we know, because it silences everything. God inhabits the praises of his people. So that means the Lord, when we praise him, he comes and sits down, you know, in our midst, in everything. Give thanks. We know that. So it goes on to speak about adoration. Because we're trying to finish up quickly now, if you have a question, you could just ask, but I would just go through if anything jumps out at me, I would just stop and discuss it further. If there's something you want me to discuss further, you could just stop me as well. So that is praise and thanksgiving. So we're pretty familiar with praise and thanksgiving, actually. We do a lot of praise and thanksgiving. So adoration, to adore. Adoration is reverence, exaltation, ascribing glory to God for his sovereign power. Perhaps the most eloquent prayer of adoration ever prayed by a king on this earth was offered by King Nebuchadnezzar. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? That's what Nebuchadnezzar said in Daniel 4. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Can't compare to the Lord. Adoration is worship. That's what he's saying. Adoration is worship. We should recognize the ultimate power and sovereignty of God. Many times Christians presume into the presence of God without courtesy. You know, we always say, look, you should not presume into the presence of the Lord. You must be courteous in going in by praising him, giving him thanks, and repenting of your sin. Right? So we always say, Lord, we don't want to presume into your presence. I ask you would forgive me because I've sinned by word, deed, and thought, and your judgment towards me is just. But even as you delight in mercy, Daddy, have mercy on me. I give you thanks and praise, acknowledging that it is you and you alone, and none can compare to you. You are sovereign Lord and King. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So that's not presuming into his presence. So you enter in with thanksgiving, praise, and repentance. You're being courteous. The same way you will come into my house and say, good evening, Ashley. You will walk through my house and go sit down at the table. By the time you come in, you got to sound your voice. Good evening. Anybody home? Right? So it's like the same thing. We will recognize the ultimate power and sovereignty of God. Many times Christians presume into the presence of God without courtesy. God is not our equal, so we should have a high regard for him and approach him with fear and reverence. Like, for instance, you have some kings. Yeah, you call them kings? Yeah. I try to remember people call them kings. It's these men with authority. You will see it especially like in like African cultures where when you are approaching them, it would be like, yeah, I think you call them kings. When the people approaching them, they would be, oh, sovereign king, mighty and true. You are this, you are that, you are the next, the third. And then the person would stretch out their like scepter and they will come. There are still some places in the earth that's practiced. So for you, when you go into the king, unless he holds out his whatever scepter, hand, whatever, you can't approach him. I was recently watching, I can't remember if it was in Kenya, but this movie that came out, Black Panther, the young lady who's one of the stars in the movie, she went back to, I think it was Kenya, and they took her to they don't call them the elder. I can't remember I can't remember who he was, but I don't think it was an elder, but he was like a king. He was like the head over that particular tribe. And they had to go and bow down to him. And the lady that took her, she's talking to him. They're bowing to him. And her head is down as she's speaking. Imagine they're still doing that to men. You believe that? Mm-hmm. Lord, I thank you, oh God, that you have revealed yourself to us. Lord, you know, thank you for your grace and thank you for drawing us in. And we pray, oh God, that you will bring all, because the Lord desired that all will come to him. You know, imagine that, honoring a man and you bowing to him. Lord, I thank you. Because actually, you know, obviously it depends on the culture that you come up in and the environment. That's your reality, you know, it's your reality. However, at the end of the day, the remnant all over, the Lord has his people all over. And so, you know, it's our prayer that all will come to know and serve him in spirit and in truth. Yeah. The next prayer is confession. It says, confession simply means acknowledging our sins, acceptance of our faults, and readiness to renounce them and to let go of them. The Bible says that God's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But our iniquities have separated between us and the Lord, and our sins have hid his face from us, that he will not hear us. So that's why it's important to confess. It says sin separates us from God. It forms a wall or a barrier or demarcation. God is ready to forgive us when we accept that we have sinned. So confess. So before you could even repent, you have to confess, right? So before you could turn away from the sin, you're going to confess it. Beyond acknowledging our sins, we go a step further to confess and forsake them. Repentance is necessary if we want to have a breakthrough in our prayer. Repent of your personal sins so that you can have the boldness to stand before God in the place of prayer. When you are praying for your nation, identificational repentance is necessary. We know what identificational repentance is. You identify with the individual or the person or the thing. So you aren't saying, Lord, I pray for the church. You say, Lord, we the church, forgive us the church, forgive me the church. So that's what identificational repentance is. You stand in the place of the thing. So not Lord, right, Lord, forgive the church, but Lord, forgive us the church, forgive me the church. That is identificational repentance. 1 second. Excuse me. Right. Repent of your personal sins so that you can have boldness to stand before the Lord. When you are praying for your nation, identificational repentance is necessary. We need to have a clean heart. Every intercessor must learn to pray, saying, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. When you confess and forsake your sin, God grants you pardon. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. That's what the word of God says, a broken and a contrite heart. Because at the end of the day, the Lord deals with the heart. The word says that he doesn't deal with the exterior. It's the interior, it's the heart that matters. So you could be saying something and your heart is far from it. The Lord knows, because he knew you before you were knit together in your mother's womb. You know, and it says that the spirit of the soul of the... Oh my, I can't remember that scripture, so don't let me quote it incorrectly. But basically, the Lord knows our hearts. The prayer of commitment. This is a prayer we pray when we totally and unreservedly commit the issues of our lives into the hands of God, who is able to keep us. All our fears, cares, and concerns must be laid at the feet of our Lord. So it's like, Lord, I commit this situation into your hands. So many times we do it and pick it back up. But Lord, help us, Father, that, you know, even as we commit situations into your hands, that we will leave them, commit them and leave them, because the Lord say he able to keep it. He could deal with it. When we commit people into the Lord's hands, the Lord says he able to keep them, you know? So the Lord is the one who's able to settle matters. So as we commit them, we are to leave them at his feet. A prayer of faith. The prayer of faith comes from a heart that has been divinely imbued with God's own kind of faith. Wow. It believes that it's possible to receive all things asked for according to the will of God. This kind of faith can move mountains, cause miracles and healings to take place, and accomplish great things for God. In this kind of prayer, there must be a believing and a receiving. The time of receiving is God's own prerogative. So here, when you will receive it is up to the Lord. But as you ask, believe that you already receive it. It has the prayer petition. This is a request made in prayer with hope and confidence in the mercy of God. Primarily, the petitioner comes to God on the basis of his word and on the righteousness of God that has been imputed on us by faith in the blood of Jesus. In petitioning God, we must ask in faith and be rightly motivated. We must also pray in accordance with God's will and offer thanksgiving. And that reminds us of the fact that we are to pray God's word. It's important to pray God's word. That's where you must know God's word. So it says here with a petition, when you petition in the Lord, you must ask in faith. Your motives must be right in asking for it. And you must pray in accordance with the will of God, right? So, like, for instance, a friend of mine, his father in the Lord, which is his father-in-law, was ill. And all of the intercessors were praying. Now, I don't know him personally, but I knew what he did for my friend, right? He welcomed him into the family, welcomed him into the ministry, and it's because of the platform he gave him. You know, in obedience to the Lord, that my friend has grown by leaps and bounds. He's a pastor in Guyana. And, you know, I went before the Lord, and it was like, Lord, I asked for healing. Because your word says that they that refresh others, they themselves will be refreshed. And I ask that you would refresh him in this season, because he has refreshed my friend. You know, he has been obedient, oh God, because I know before my friend even returned to the nation, my friend was just telling me how the Lord was dealing with him, and the Lord told him to go back. And, you know, so my friend came from went to the nation. And it's only obvious in obedience, then the father-in-law received him and gave him the platform to do. So it's from operating in obedience that everything was done. And so I asked the Lord from that place. That was my motive in asking the Lord for healing, right? And agreeing with all the others in prayer for his healing. And he is healed in Jesus' name, you know? So that's so I petitioned the Lord. So a prayer supplication, the supplicate is to petition, to entreat, or to ask humbly for something. Generally, the prayer of supplication involves pleading earnestly for God's compassion and favor. In this kind of prayer, the supplicant may or may not have grounds for his strong entreaty and beseeching, but comes to God, as it were, and on the basis of God's love, mercy, and compassion. So you're asking the Lord to supply a need. You know, this is what you need. Again, like something as simple as, you know, asking for increase in salary, asking for this is supplying a need. You want the Lord to supply a need. You know, and you come asking, and because of his love, he responds. A prayer of deliverance. Many times as children of God, we are faced with challenges that are masterminded by the devil. And in such situations, we need God's intervention. A prayer of deliverance at such times will be more appropriate than any other form of prayer. Not only do we need to pray, we must hear from God in prayer as he makes a way of escape for us. Mm-hmm. We find examples of these kinds of prayer in the experience of the following chapters. So it speaks of Jehoshaphat, with David, with Asa, and with Paul and Silas. So we know with Jehoshaphat, when he prayed, and then the word came through the prophet, and then in the morning they went to battle, you know, and they were praising and everything. And by the time they went, the Lord had already settled the matter, and it took them 3 days to retrieve the spoils from that battle that they did not even fight. That all the Lord told them to do was to go and praise. Right? We know with David and King Saul, we know these prayers of deliverance, asking the Lord to deliver them from a situation, and how the Lord responded. We know the prayer of binding and loosing. As believers, we have been given the authority to bind and loose. We have to consciously look out for issues that need attention so that we can stop the interference of evil in our lives. So you got to know what to bind and what to loose. And even as you bind something, you should lose something. So if you bind up an enemy in an area, you release the Lord to do what he wants. Release the spirit of grace, the spirit of this, you know. You know, you talk about leaving voids. You don't want to leave a void. Prayer of agreement, unity and the strength for the church. And we must agree in prayer if we are to see the power and the will of God made manifest in the earth. Note that the prayer of agreement involves two or more persons. We must agree over the issues that we are praying for. And let me just mention here quickly, that's why it's important. Anytime you're doing any type of warfare, you're not supposed to do it on your own, unless the Lord gives you exact specific instructions that you could say, without a doubt, the Lord told me to go and do. When you are taking part in warfare activities, you are supposed to go no less than 2 people. Agreement is a weapon, right? It says, note that the prayer of agreement involves 2 or more persons who must agree over the issue they are praying. There is power in corporate united prayer. The early apostles recognized this fact and took advantage of it in Acts 2:1. The Bible states that on the day of Pentecost, they were in the upper room praying together in one accord. One shall chase 1,000 and 2, 10,000 to flight. praying in tongues or in the spirit. So we talked about this earlier. We cannot afford to run the Christian race without constantly building ourselves up in prayer. Can you imagine a vehicle with a rundown battery trying to accelerate or climb a hill? It's an uphill task. Praying in the spirit keeps us charged in our inner man and ready for any eventuality. When we pray in the spirit, we are releasing our spirit to the Holy Spirit to pray through us. That's another thing too. All right, so that is praying in tongues and in the spirit, judgmental prayer. David prayed this kind of prayer a lot. God is a God of justice, and he allows us to pray judgmental prayers when he wants to release his judgment on a situation or a place that resists the power of God. Anywhere in scriptures where this was done was usually a case where men were in league with the powers of darkness. We have to be cautious, however, in releasing judgment. We have to be sure that this is what the Lord wants. This is what God wants. Therefore, we must allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit so you don't be left right and center releasing judgments, because then that would equate to a curse. So you must hear the Lord and judge the matter to suit, and judging spirits and not individuals. You know, so we got to be real mindful again in terms of watching the words that you speak, right? And even as you judge, it must come from the Lord telling you to judge this particular matter, because you can't judge a matter and the matter is evident in you too, right? You can't curse Satan when you're in his yard playing, or he will devour you, right? So we got to be mindful of all these things. You got to be very mindful, because the enemy come to kill, steal, and destroy. And because of the lack of knowledge, the people perish. So you have to be very mindful. So the Lord ain't going to send you to judge something that you're still struggling with, right? And he ain't going to send you to judge a person and curse them in the process, right? Because the Lord, at the end of the day, love is the strongest spirit, because it says love covers over a multitude of sin. Right? So it's love. The Lord is always to love. But yes, he's also a God of justice, and he judges. Right? Because even in our foundational scripture, in Jeremiah 9:17-21, the Lord called Jeremiah. I tell him to go and send for the men and women before I bring judgment upon Judah, because of the nonsense they were doing. So he does bring judgment. He does judge. You know, he does. Yeah. Prayer of repentance and restoration, whether it's a personal repentance or identificational repentance, the foundational principle is that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Correct. The blood of Jesus is sufficient to remit the sins of all men in all parts of the world. If they call upon his name in true repentance of all sins, the necessary steps to secure remission of sins are these. First, identify the specific sin, confess it to God, and ask for forgiveness. This is what we were talking about in terms of, like, even presuming into the presence of the Lord. You know, when we sincerely, and this is what repentance, and people think that repentance, you say, oh Lord, I repent, but no, it's a process. You have to confess first and ask forgiveness and then turn away. Because repenting is turning away. It's an about turn. It's a word or a term that they use in the army. Repent. They say, repent, about turn. So it's like turning completely. 180, not 360. And back up where you start at 360. So it says God is faithful and just. Let me see here. When we sincerely confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Prayer of dedication or consecration. An example of this kind of prayer can be found in 2 Chronicles 6. 12 to 42, this is a prayer of handover. When we dedicate everything to God, he takes it over and guards it jealously. So it's like a prayer of dedication. You dedicate your life to the Lord. You know, Lord, I dedicate my life to you, so you have free rule and reign. Consecrate me, set me apart for your honor and your glory. The word tells us about vessels of honor, that you have different vessels in a house. Glass, stone, gold, silver, all of these things, all of these different types of vessels you have. Some set aside for honor and others for dishonor. But we want the Lord to consecrate us and set us apart as honorable vessels fit for use in his hands, right? Prayer of authority. This type of prayer begins in the heart of a man who has a recognizable voice in the courts of heaven. Wow. The results are felt on earth. We know that right off the bat, the government, prime minister, has authority because of the post that they hold. And so the things they declare our prayer over, the nation is binding. So that's why we have to pray for our government and pray for those in authority, that we will live peaceable lives. So that even as they pray or say and speak things over us, that they are in accordance with the will of God, so that they would not curse the place, curse the nation. That's what it says, to pray for them that we may live peaceable lives. So it says commands are issued on command, and commands in prayer are never addressed to God, but to physical or spirit beings as led by the Spirit of God. Sometimes, let me read that over. This type of prayer begins in the heart of a man who has a recognizable voice in the courts of heaven. The results are felt on earth. So again, authority figures. And then we also have men of authority as it relates to spiritual authority, which will be like our spiritual leaders, etc. And you have different authority figures. You know, there's good and evil as well. So it says, commands are issued and commands in prayer are never addressed to God, but to physical or spirit beings as led by the Spirit of God. Sometimes it's addressed to inanimate objects. Although the power to accomplish the task lives with God, in the initiative, however, has to come from the believer. So prayer of authority, it has Moses here, Moses 16, 28, 33. So I believe that this would have been with even the parting of the sea. Joshua, we know of Joshua's prayers. Let me just, so could someone just pull up? All right, let me see if I can get it quickly. Let me just be specific. Close on. Numbers 16, 28. Good. So Numbers 16, 28 to 33 says, then Moses said, this is how you will know that the Lord has sent me to do all these things, and that it was not on my idea. If these men die a natural death and suffer the fate of all mankind, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord brings about something totally new, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them with everything that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the realm of the dead, then you will know that these men have treated the Lord with contempt. And as soon as he finished saying all this, he groaned. Yeah, so it's this, so it's not the, it's a good thing I read it. Recount of the story when the earth opened up and swallowed. As soon as he finished saying all these things, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them and their households and all theirs and all those associated with Korah, together with their possessions. They went down alive into the realm of the dead with everything they owned. The earth closed over them, and they perished and were gone from the community. Right. So this is the whole situation with Korah. So we know that Moses was given the authority to lead the people out. And because of that, the Lord responded to his word. And so creation responded. You know, the Lord said, I think it was when his brother and his sister Aaron and his Miriam spoke against him. And the Lord called all three of them together and said, wait. Wait. So if there's a prophet in the midst, is it not I that would give them the word to speak? Right? So did I not give Moses a word to speak? Did I give you any to you a word to speak? Meaning that Moses is mine. I am the one giving him words to speak. So don't speak against him. And that's when Miriam was leprous, got leprosy. And then Moses then had to ask the Lord again to forgive her. Because the Lord represents those that he's placed in authority, and that's why I say we have to be so very careful in dealing with our leaders, because they have been put there, you know, for a purpose by the Lord. And so when we have situations with them, we're not supposed to go to them directly, we're supposed to go to the Lord, right? Because it's not always that they will function in the way that they should, but in dealing with them, we have to go to the Lord concerning our leaders. It says a prayer of intercession. This is what we do. The word intercession means to mediate, intervene, plead, to work with God on behalf of others. The Greek word for intercession is paga. This means to impinge, to violence. Other meanings are to collide with, to encroach, to drive in, to strike up against, to invade, to come between, to cause, to entreat, to meet, to pray. Hi, what is this word? Hooper in Toucan. Hooper in Tughan. Hooper means above, beyond, across, more than, instead of, exceedingly above. Mm-hmm. So these are just words that are rooted in, that the word intercession is rooted in. And Tuxis, to get the ear of the king on behalf of, intra means, sedin means to stand, intra means between, and sedin means to stand. Okay, so this is just giving you like the different, like the Greek meaning, etc., Latin meaning of the word intercede. From the explanations given above, intercession can be defined simply as the job of making yourself available as a channel unto the Lord in order to pray his burden and concern as impressed upon your spirit by the Holy Spirit. So examples of intercessory prayers. It says, during his earthly ministry, Jesus prayed for the multitude whom he came to seek and save. So he wept over the city of Jerusalem. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed for his enemies while on the cross. Right? So yes, so that's it there. And then it went into like examples of intercession, because I don't want to go on any longer. Half an hour, we went beyond half an hour. So those are, I just wanted to go through like the different types of prayers so that we see that there's more than one type of prayer. So different prayers, and they cater to different needs. And even as we began, we started off, because we dwelt a lot on praying in tongues, which is really critical to being able to, you know, to effective and fervent prayer. We also dealt with the importance of maintaining your personal altar, which is critical, because that's where you form intimacy with the Lord. Because it's from that intimate place that you could actually go now and speak, right? So you have a test. So if you ain't studying in the background, when it's time now to do that test, well, you don't have anything to pull on, because you didn't spend that time, you know, away studying. So it's from that intimate place that you are able, you speak with authority. You know that you stand with authority from that intimate place with the Lord. And then the importance of like watching what you speak, right? So that your words will carry weight in the end. So you speak what the Lord speaks, and you don't scatter with your tongue. You don't spit out curses, you know, all of these things we don't do. Because the Lord, God is a God of love. Yes, he judges us well, but let him be the one to instruct you in that way and even how to carry it out, right? And then we focus too on the importance of like praise, not only giving thanks, but also on giving praise. So that is it for me. So, and then we also look at Mike Vickler. So I would advise everyone, you could look back at that and finish looking through, you know, hearing God's voice. That was another area that we looked at, hearing God's voice, because all of these things are key to effective fervent prayer. So I would end here. Does anyone have anything to say quickly before we close off in prayer?
Thank you for an excellent job.
I am. Thank you for helping me. God is good. We want to thank God too. Lord, thank you, because you know I didn't plan. I said, Lord, I would just come, because you wanted the extra time. So just let me set the time aside and come. And the Lord just, you know, instructed and directed in the way that he wanted it to go, because this was not a plan. But you know, God is faithful. And thank you. And for even just desiring it as well. Because, you know, it's important that we understand that even as I, like everything here was like refreshing for me. So it's not like I know, you know, the Lord helps me, that's how the Lord helps me. It's not that I know, but as I come and I do, he shows and he reminds me. So it's a lot of things that I even have to carry away in terms of like what I need to do. I get back into doing. The Lord is here just reminding me of things that I need to do. So the word of God is truly a double-edged sword. Huh? Mm-hmm. Everybody is affected by it. So thank you. I am grateful. You're welcome. You're welcome, ladies.
Okay, and I just want to share with you is the chief in Africa. They have a lot of rules and regulations, and even if you want to go into their place, you can't just up and go. You got to get permission from the chief.
is the chief,
so,
right?
Thank you so much for even making that example, because then I was able to relate to it, and I mm-hmm. never thought about addressing God, you know. So Brilliant. Thank you very much for that example. I can't remember you were.
I saw you.
So thank you.
I'm glad that you still got in.
Finish. I had at least two little ones, so mm-hmm. said let me get in. Whether I only get 15 minutes, I will. So thank you so much for going on the.
You're welcome. God no bless. Problem. Kenya.
Yeah, Ashley, the other thing too is the agreement with prayer. That was so important because, you know, I remember one time you have to come into agreement when you're pulling down strongholds, because I remember one time in my prayer time, I did that, and I had an out-of-body experience. I was so tired when I was finished. I could hear my daughter talking to me. I can see myself live on the bed, literally. I can hear everything around me, but I could not answer. It's only that when she knocked on my bedroom door, mm-hmm. because the phone was rang, I mean, I could hear everything around me, but I could see myself on the bed and hearing mm-hmm. everything, like it was like an out-of-body experience. So it tells me that what I did, I was not supposed to do in that prayer, because I was just pulling down and I was doing my own thing. So mm-hmm. Now I understand that is a very serious thing. So we have to come into agreement with stuff like that. So that was a clarity to me to know that that's something I'll never do again.
Mm-hmm. You got to be very, very careful.
You have to be very careful. I'm telling you.
You got it. Sorry?
Mm-hmm. I said it was scary because I could hear everything around me. I could see my body on the bed lying down. I could hear everybody talking. I'm trying to answer them, but there was nothing. It's only when she opened my door that I think I went into my body.
It came out. Mm-hmm. It happens, and we have to be really mindful, because you know we will be like, yes, tramp up on the enemy, you do this with the enemy. We gotta remember that he's strong. Yeah, it's only the Lord. You know, it says that there's more for us than against us. It's only in God that we can even deal with him. And so the word is even tell you about the Lord is the one who's put the hook in Leviathan's mouth and drag him out the sea, not you, me, and you.
Yeah.
So we gotta be still mindful, and it's gotta operate in wisdom. You know, and you can't be tearing down and jumping up and mashing down. But it's the Lord is the one that carries us into battle, and he would equip us. Not saying we can't, but the Lord has to be the one going before us, instructing, directing, you know? Because then he gives you the grace and you're covered to do it and everything. So you gotta really be sensitive and mindful of that. So yes, so with that said, we just give God thanks.
Get knowledge of reading other books on the different areas in prayer. I know that's what I did when I first became a Christian. I realized prayer was going to have to be my key. Mm-hmm. I started getting books on different aspects of prayer and type of prayer. And I just read people like Andrew Murray and George Mueller and what's his name? Datsun, I think his name is. But you have a whole list of guys, those old guys who wrote Schambach and all of those who wrote on prayer. And I realized that was my training school. Because my thing was, Holy Spirit, I want you to teach me and train me. So with getting books, I was like, Holy Spirit, show me what I'm to learn from this. Mm-hmm. And then you show me how to apply these in the different areas. So knowledge is key. And the more we can read on different aspects of prayer, the better it is. So you learn how to practice, put into practice that, which we need. And I can't just say that experience she had. I guess if she had learned or read more on warfare, she would have known she was going into dangerous territory.
Yeah. But God, you know? So we give him praise. We give him praise. So let me just pray at close. So Father, again, we just want to give you thanks and praise for even this opportunity to just learn more about you. Your word says that where two and three are gathered together in your name, you said you are in the midst. And Father, that's the reason we gather, to just, you know, to just dig deeper. And you would think that prayer is such a simple matter. But yet, Father, you have certain things you've put in place to assist us, even as the disciples asked,
you to teach them. You gave them the principles to prayer. And Lord, we ask that even coming out from this, Lord, that we would go even deeper in prayer. Lord, that you would turn over our hearts and our minds even more, that you will continue to speak to us concerning this matter. Father, that as we come before you, Father, that you would hear and that you would respond. As we come before you, that you would be well pleased. As we come before you, Father, that you would desire to hear from us. Father, that you would draw us even closer to you. Lord, we ask even though that you would search our hearts and see if there be any wicked way in us, that you will cleanse us from every sin and set us free, that you will deal by fire with every hindrance, everything, oh God, that wants to distract us. You know, everything, Father, that would come to, you know, to dissuade us from just setting that time aside and keeping the time. You know, it's a serious struggle. Father, but I ask that you would cause us to see the need, how necessary it is, and that we will set the time aside and come. You know, that nothing, that everything else will fade away, and that we would just desire to be with you, to be intimate with you. Father, to you be all the honor, glory, and praise. We just commit ourselves into your hands because you're able to keep that which is committed to you until the very end. And that we continue to declare that you are sovereign Lord and King over our lives, over our families, over our nations, and everything that concerns us. So to you be all the honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, and we present Danelle to you, even concerning her desire, you know, for praying in the spirit, you know, gift of tongues, Lord. And we ask that you would endue your daughter, that you would pour out, oh God, your spirit, your grace to do it. Father, that you would even surprise her, that she would not even know where it came from. You know, your word speaks about your spirit being like the wind. We don't know where it comes from or where it's going, but we know it is there. Father, Lord, that you would wash over her afresh. Father, that you would wash over her afresh with your living waters. Father, and that you would unlock that, oh God, which is hidden deep in her, Father, and as she begins to pour out, Father, that she will not even know how, you know, Lord, that she won't even be able to close it. Father, that you would pour out and then be pouring out and pouring out and pouring out as she begins to pour out. Father, that strongholds would be broken, oh God, that she would be renewed, that she will come to a new level in you. Father, so we agree concerning Danelle this day in the name of Jesus. Father, that even as we receive a report from her, it would be that, Lord, she has seen and she has received that which she has asked for. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you praise. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So someone could dust us off.
Amen.
Amen. Someone, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right, you could dust us off.
Yes. We dust ourselves and all of ours. From the smoke and dust of war, we cut off every trailing and monitoring demons. We erase our fingerprints, footprints, and voices from being used against us. We declare that there shall be no backlash, no boomerang, no reprisals as a result of this battle here today. We declare finally that the kingdoms of this world has become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and we shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Everyone have a wonderful and restful weekend. It's been good having you.
Thank you so much. It was nice having you too.
You're welcome.
Blessings to my sisters, and I love you all. I appreciate what God is doing. Thank you all so much.
Yes. Amen. Love you too.